This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
How's it feel to be overlooked, underrated, and hated? Stomach pains in the belly of a city hungry.
Dorchester-born hip-hop artist George Carroll is probably better known by his stage name, Slane. He describes his childhood as normal, but his adolescence was shaped by a tough life in the streets, which gave him plenty of material for his music. But let's back up, cause my story ain't a fairy tale, it's really real. Ain't had a chance, I ain't have nothing, I could barely fail. All I had was these neighborhoods I know very well. In a fiery Slane sat down with my co-host Anthony Brooks earlier this year to talk about his life, his album The Boston Project, and about the hip-hop artists that inspired him.
Actually, the first time I heard the Beastie Boys' License to Ill record, I wrote a song right afterwards. So, you know, LL Cool J, Beastie Boys, Slick Rick, N.W.A., I loved it.
What did you love about it?
I think I liked the energy, the aggression. I liked the vulgarity, you know, and just kind of the anti-authority message that it had. You know, I don't think at that young age I really related to that. But, you know, as I got older, it started to really speak to me in different ways.
So you kept on rapping, and I'd love to play something from your earlier career. You eventually made a mixtape called The White Man is the Devil, and let's listen to a track from there. This will not be the last time that I feel like the world's falling on me. Not the first either. I got the worst fever with no health insurance to see no nurse neither. And water ain't the only thing that I'm thirsty for. My throat hurts, but the pain in my heart hurts deeper. I feel like God cursed me for no reason. In a cold season, eating ramen noodles twice a day. I can't live my life this way. Got rid of the habit for hard drugs, a drug he said. But sometimes it comes back, waving its ugly head. So that's Walk with the Devil from The White Man is the Devil, Volume 1, from the Boston-based rapper Slane. So you sing Slane, The White Man is the Devil, but in this case, the white man is cocaine, right?
Yeah. Once I hit a certain age, I had a lot of anger, and then there was just a lot of access and not a lot of supervision for me. You know, I did pretty much every drug in the book, but that was the one that that really put me through it. And basically, I made the first mixtape I made was a theme of how I ended up getting into detox.
But let's talk about your newest album, The Boston Project. And I want to listen to one track. This is called Polaroid Picture. I stay determined for one day I'll be the main event. The past it moved fast, every day it came and went. All I got's my memories, cause I can never save a cent. I don't need a photograph, I got these memories in my head. And you don't even know the half, so used to the way I live. And I always remember, I never could forget where I came from. And I always remember, forever like a Polaroid picture. So that's Slane with Polaroid Picture from his new CD, The Boston Project. You'll hold onto those memories like a Polaroid picture. It's an interesting idea. But Slane, I got to ask, a lot of these memories seem like they're difficult and painful ones, right? Fair?
Yeah, but you know what? That's life, I think. I think those are the things that we got to hold on to. But to me, that's what life is. It's difficult. It's hard. There's no getting around that. You know, there's death, there's sickness. But, you know, I've found a lot of great friendships, and I really love where I come from.
Yeah, in fact, I read that the Boston Project is really an ode to the city that you grew up in, the city that you love, to Boston, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I wanted to make the record because, you know, it's really difficult to come out of Boston as a hip-hop artist. I wanted to make a whole album with all the kids, the artists that I came up with at the same time in the city, and, you know, because I think a lot of people see, you know, some of the success I've had going forward with movies and really carving out a lane. And, you know, I wanted to let the artists know I'm still with them. I'm still one of them. And this is where I come from. You know?
I want to talk about your success in movies in a moment. But first, stick with this theme about sort of the hip hop scene in Boston. And I know that there is a hip hop scene here. There's a bunch of talent. But you don't think of Boston as a major sort of center of hip hop, and I think I heard you just say that it's a tough city to emerge in as a hip hop artist. Why is that?
You know, I think it's a lot of different reasons. A lot of the clubs and the venues here, they are not open to hip hop. Is that a race thing? Mm-hmm. I think at the heart of it, I think yeah, I would have to say that. I don't think the clubs want to have street people doing aggressive music in their venues. I just think that's the bottom line. So what the residual effect of that is that a lot of the artists don't get the opportunity or the chance to grow and perform because you have kind of this institutional, I guess it's like an institutional racism that goes on with some of these clubs. And another aspect, because you haven't had a lot of people successful in hip hop from Boston, you don't have a wealth of older artists that can give guidance to the younger ones. There's just not a whole lot of resources here. You have to go to New York City. You know,
would you like to see that change? Would you like to sort of imagine that Boston can develop as a center of hip hop?
I would like to see any artist have the opportunity to thrive, yeah. You know, not just in hip hop. I love this city. It's so much culture here. And, you know, it's a shame when somebody is a really great artist and the world doesn't get to hear them.
Another track, let's listen, from the Boston Project is called Hero. Let's listen to that right now.
I've been violent, I've been losing it. I've been sleeping, I've been hibernating. Music is the only thing to snap me out of that. Blackouts, crack houses everywhere, addiction is a movie. Terror's an agenda, having spin from a Uzi. I never frat, rap, backpack, a pen pal, a pen wab, a 10 styles. I'm that cracked, a crack baby. Two-pack crazy, I'm Biggie Xanax on the couch. Trust me, I'm that lazy. I'm Pat Swayze, I'm a ghost with a mean streak. 20 years of getting high, I've never seen
they
a clean week.
So there's a line in there, addiction is a movie, music snaps me out of that. Did music, the creative outlet, sort of snap you out of that, in a sense, save your life?
Oh, it absolutely 1,000% has saved my life. There's, you know, I don't know what I would have done without that outlet. You know, so many other kids that were doing the same thing as me when we were growing up. You know, they're sick, they're dead, they're in jail, you know. I really think what separated me and allowed me to rise out of that and have a good life is the music. It's unquestionably, it was music. I think music allowed me to heal myself in a lot of ways.
Do you feel healed? I mean, I guess where I'm going with that is, you know, you talk about the music as being an important outlet for that anger that you feel. Do you still feel that anger? Or
I do. You know, I'm not saying, like, you know, that music has, you know, made me the person that I want to be across the board. You know, I battle with a lot of things to this day. And, you know, music is my oldest friend, though. It's always there.
Well, one of the big breaks in your life, which helped launch your movie career, came when Ben Affleck gave you a call. So tell us about that, because I understand that it's a phone call that you almost didn't get.
At the time, I moved into a warehouse on Shirley Street, Roxbury, Dorchester. You know, there was no power, there was no hot water, and I was just basically squatting. At the time, I was at the recording studio, and I would charge my cell phone in the bar down the street or at the studio overnight. So when I got home, I was in the Boston Herald, and I bought every newspaper that they had at the store. I went back. And I passed out because I got back home from the studio about 7 a.m. I woke up at 3 in the afternoon and I had 66 missed phone calls on my thing. Now, a lot of it was people saying, oh, I saw you in the Herald. It was the first time I had ever been in the newspaper.
Right, right. So this was a story about your, essentially about your singing in the Boston Herald.
Yeah, it was
right.
A story about my music. And
Ben Affleck saw it and wanted to get in touch with you because of it.
Exactly. So Ben Affleck saw me in the paper.
Yeah.
And so a lot of these phone calls were from radio stations or newspapers and trying to get in touch with me. He had put out like essentially like an APB. The next day I went in. And I did the audition, and I auditioned 5 times, and I didn't think I was going to get it.
This first movie, this was for
Gone Baby Gone.
Gone Baby Gone. You were also in The Town as one of the bank robbers, and most recently, Killing Them Softly with Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
And we actually have a scene from Gone Baby Gone. This is a pretty intense scene with your character. Correct me if I've got this wrong. Bubba Rogowski, the drug-dealing gun runner, and Patrick Kinsey, who's a private investigator played by Casey Affleck.
Yes.
Let's just listen to a bit of this.
You put a gun on me, you better use it.
Just give us a whizzer.
You don't want to shoot her, Patrick? Who's this guy?
Corwin, go back to your room!
It's not a party? Nope, it's not a party.
No, it's not a party. You don't want to mess with this guy. So that's a scene from Gone Baby Gone with the rapper and actor slain. So tell me about how this movie career, I mean, it's sort of an evolution in your career. How do you feel about it? What do you like about it?
You know, it's something that I discovered that I love. I mean, I didn't know that I had it in me to be an actor, and it's something that Ben saw in me. And music to me is so much different than acting. I have so much more fun acting than I
really?
Do making music, because music is such a sometimes it's such a painful process for me to you know, to dig through this stuff. It's something that I need to do. I have to make music. Acting is something that's much more, I have a lot more fun with it. It's not as emotionally painful for me to do.
Well, I've got to ask you, Slane, because, you know, so the power and the rawness of your music, as you've described, comes from sort of the pain in your life. But you're off the street now. You're living in this world of movies, Hollywood, the bi-coastal life. How do you keep that material fresh? Or does that material change?
Well, you know, I think that the material does change. And as you mature as an artist, you have to write what's going on in your life now. But at the same time, I'm not to the level where I'm this multimillionaire Hollywood star. So I'm definitely out of the street, 100%. So I don't, you know.
Not squatting in the warehouses anymore.
Yeah, that's not happening. But, you know, a lot of people that I love and care about are still, you know, going through it with that lifestyle. So I write about what I'm going through right now. And, you know, I still obviously have the past experiences, but you know, you always want to write about what's going on in your life right now.
Sure. Well, Slane, thank you so much for coming, and it's been a real pleasure talking to you, and I wish you all kinds of good luck.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Hip-hop artist Slane spoke with my co-host Anthony Brooks earlier this year. Well, that's it for today. And remember, you can always let us know what you think about this show. Criticisms and compliments, we'll take those too. Go to our website, radioboston.org. You can also find us on Twitter or Facebook. We're at Radio Boston. Follow me on Twitter. I'm Meghna WBUR. That's MEGHNAWBUR. Or you can follow my co-host, Anthony Brooks. He's Anthony G. Brooks on Twitter. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Our show is produced by Amory Sievertson, Dina Rosendorf, Alex Kingsbury, Mira Sharma, and Kathleen McNerney. Our intern is Siobhan O'Grady. Tim Skog is our technical director. The executive producer of Radio Boston is Mark Maven. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Have a wonderful Labor Day, and join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.